When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keeley. I got a very special guest with me today, a real OG as far as the Browns Wire community goes, the host of the Hurry Up Podcast, Mac Robinson. Mac, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, Josh. Thank you for having me on, man. Always love hopping on with you.
Yeah, man. I haven't had you on in a while. I saw that you dropped a new episode of your podcast today, too.
Yeah. Look, after what happened this past weekend, I had to go ahead and throw my hat back in the ring. It's been a long time, but I had to jump back into the game.
Dude, you were so passionate yesterday when you were texting me. I was like, dude, you got to come on the show tomorrow. Let's just do it. But let's just jump into it, man. The Browns lost 38-7. They got destroyed. The Browns now sit at 4-2, which is weird that everybody's so unhappy because I can't remember the last time the Browns are 4-2. They lost to an undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers team that's now sitting at 5-0. So remember that. And people are upset. People are talking about Baker being benched by him not being the guy. Honestly, let me give you my take first. I had Brad Ward on the show last week, and I said, gun to my head, I'm putting money on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that the Steelers are great. I pointed out the Steelers' defensive backfield, specifically Minkah Fitzpatrick. Nothing that they did surprised me, really. I mean, we shouldn't have got beat by 31 points. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this isn't a complete shock to me. I'm more shocked by people's reactions, but how do you feel, man?
You know, for me, and I feel similar to how I felt after that Ravens game, which is, you know, this Browns team, obviously, look, they're ahead of schedule when it comes to where their team is at right now. But for me, it's all about context. And it's the fact that this team has a new head coach in Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. This is 6 weeks into the regular season with 6 weeks of offseason prep. Now, again, I'm not trying to come out here and make excuses, but at the same time, we got to be realistic about where this team is at. The fact that they're 4-2 to begin with is nuts. But again, the two teams that they have lost to and gotten obliterated by have been two teams that have two of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL. They have the most continuity and they have the players that really haven't lost anybody. So out of anything, we really should have expected more. Obviously, I know that we were coming in high off of the 4-game winning streak, you know, coming off of a win against the Indianapolis Colts, well-oiled machine over there as well. But, you know, overall, again, this is a tough team. This is a team that somehow went 8-8 with Duck Dynasty and Mason Rudolph last year. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. And for me, I'm looking at it, you know, this offensive line, you know, they had to have some kind of clunker here sooner or later. You know, they didn't play up to their potential this week. And Baker was taking those hits. And you could see that week, like, play after play after play. And my biggest thing is that I love that fans are forgetting the fact that Baker Mayfield had a massive rib injury coming into this game. And not only, too, they mentioned in the broadcast, Jim Nance even said he normally sleeps on his side, but he was in so much pain that he couldn't sleep on his side for the entire week. So he was in pain and, again, getting constantly hit after hit, after hit, after hit. You know, I don't know what you really expected out of that. And again, this is a Pittsburgh Steelers defense that limited Saquon Barkley and outside of one 74-yard run from Miles Sanders last week, limited him to 6 yards on the ground. Like, This is a defense that is legitimate. So I don't know what we were really expecting. Obviously, I thought that the Browns could have won this game. But again, I was wrong in that sense. This is a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is legit, and that is a fearful defense. And Ben Roethlisberger is a game manager. He's taking care of the football. That's what you come to expect.
Dude, he's more than a game manager. He's got, I mean, he did everything right. This was the first game, pretty much all, I mean, this is the first game since the Browns have hit their hot streak where they haven't had a turnover. And Big Ben's a big reason for that, right? We're not going up against Dwayne Haskins. We're not going up against Joe Burrow. This is big boy football. This is Big Ben football. And he's gonna hold on to that ball. Baker Mayfield isn't the only one that sucked. That entire defense sucked. The interior of the defensive line that we thought was so great, Sheldon Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi got pushed. Okay, James Conner is a very average NFL back, and he rushed for over 100 yards. Benny Snell looked very impressive against the interior defensive line, right? I mean, the play calling was iffy, right? We talked about Baker Mayfield's rib injury, and then you come out in the first – well, I guess it would be the second drive because the first drive was a pick six. But the second drive or third drive, you come out, you call a screen pass that is a long developing play where Baker Mayfield gets smashed. Why would you have a long developing play like that against a team that rushes the pass? Okay, let me rephrase that because that sounds stupid. I understand that you call the screens because you're bringing in the aggressive defense. My point is, with your quarterback's ribs being messed up like that and everybody talking about it leading up to the week, I mean, right? Why would you leave him susceptible? Those, you get hit. You get hit on screens. And you're right? And the play calling was just weird like that all day. And the defense, again, they let up 38 points, right? Chase Claypool had a rushing touchdown. The rookie wide receiver had a rushing touchdown. The Steelers just beat us.
Well, I will also say this too. So for me, just context-wise, I go ahead and I say the defense let up 31 points. And for me, I look at
it. I apologize. You're right. I keep saying 38, but you're right. That's those 7 points. So 7 of those points do go on Baker.
Yeah. So for me, the way that I see it is, I think that defense was getting gas as the game kind of went on because of the fact that the offense couldn't have long sustaining drives. Yeah, exactly. And that was the big thing, is that especially you saw what happens when the Browns ground game isn't going. You know, they're not able to control the clock. And the defense is getting out there and they're getting gas, and Baker isn't necessarily able to go ahead and keep those drives sustained, especially when he's hurt. And again, like what you were saying too, like the offensive line wasn't playing up to their potential that they've been playing.
The offensive line was terrible. I didn't even bring that up. You brought it up first that those were your exact words. They didn't play up to their potential. Let me build off of that and say that they were terrible. They were terrible. Wyatt Teller being out, you can definitely, when they're going up against a good defensive line, there is a stark contrast between Chris Hubbard and Wyatt Teller. And Jack Conklin, he got beat like a drum by TJ Watt. Like a drum. And I compare that to Baker Mayfield's struggles, Sheldon Richardson's struggles, Larry Ogunjobi's struggles. I don't think any of those guys suck. I don't think Jack Conklin sucks. I think that TJ Watt is that good. I think that the Steelers were that good. I don't think any of those guys should be cut or traded. But it's so weird that the focus is on Baker when Jack Conklin sucked. Sheldon Richardson blew. Larry Ogunjobi blew. The safeties blew. Denzel Ward blew. They all blew. I don't understand why we're picking apart him.
Right. And the other part of it, too, is that like what you were saying, where these long developing plays, my other part of it, too, is the fact that, you know, Odell and Jarvis, they weren't able to create enough separation early on so that you can get some of those quick passes that Baker wants. And not only that, too, with the quick pressure that they were able to get on him at that point, you're starting to wonder, okay, all of a sudden now, if Odell is getting a slant going and if he's able to get some quick separation, okay, fine, we're able to get the ball out quick enough. But at the same time, you've got Cam Hayward, you've got Stephon Tuitt that are crushing the pocket. And so all of a sudden now, when those guys are actually getting open, Baker, meanwhile, has his back turned because he's trying to run away from all this pressure going on. You got to give credit to the Steelers defense. Like, as much as I know Browns fans hate doing it, they're a well-oiled machine. They're like it's like the fact that they have continuity on a team, and they're not learning a brand new playbook every single season.
The game plan, the Steelers, Baker Mayfield was bad. I want everybody to know that I am aware of how bad Baker Mayfield looked, but I'm also aware of how bad, the other 10 guys in the field were too. The Steelers had a really good game plan. I mean, that's evidence. Our editor, Jeff Risden, had an article, it was either yesterday or today, where he pointed out a lot of the flaws in the offense that the Browns were running. I think a lot of that falls on Stefanski and his bland play calling and his predictable play calling from Sunday. I mean, the Browns only had – they only converted 1 of 12 on third downs. They only had 4 first downs on their first 5 possessions. The Steelers came out with a plan, and it worked. They muddied the defensive backfield. They confused Baker. They knew what Stefanski was going to call. They were right there. There was no better game. But they got out-coached, outplayed, outclassed. And that's on the offensive side. The same thing goes for the defensive side. Like I said, the Steelers had a great running offense. Big Ben didn't make any mistakes. He was hitting Claypool in stride. It was the perfect game plan. And to be honest with you, I'm still more upset. If you look at the Brown season, I'm still more upset by them barely beating the Cincinnati Bengals the first time around by the skin of the teeth and letting a rookie quarterback look very impressive on a short week with 60 attempts than I am about this week. I thought that the Browns looked worse against the Bengals, right? I mean, that defensive line, offensive line is terrible. We don't talk about how awful the Browns looked against the Cincinnati Bengals on a Thursday night football, right? I just feel like it's so weird that we're taking – I mean, the Steelers are good. The Steelers are a playoff team. They're a top-8 team.
Right. And that was my biggest thing too, is that, like, obviously, you know, you can learn from each and every game, but I don't know what it was, but I was like, I don't know if we had adjusted our expectations way too soon or what, if everybody was kind of thinking that, because the other part that I pointed out in the podcast is the fact that if you look at the Browns schedule, and Jake Trotter of ESPN mentioned this earlier today in a tweet.
Yeah.
And he said that the Browns have the easiest schedule in the NFL from here on out. If you look at it, they have 6 games, 6 against teams that have 2 wins or less. 6.
Wow.
And they have 4 wins right now. So you're telling me that if they go ahead and take care of business against the teams that they should be beating, they should be 10-6.
Like, I mean, they're still not a good team. I'm not saying that they're a 10-win team. They should, but they shouldn't be. That my expectations aren't there.
Right. But that's my thing, is that, again, and you know, I know you've got everything that you want to talk about too, but I mean, like, just going through, I mean, Cincinnati, 1 win, Texans, 1 win, Philly, 1 win, that's 3. Then Jacksonville, 1 win. Then you got back-to-back games against Tennessee and Baltimore. I'm not even giving them the chance to win that one as of right now. Then you've got 2 games in December against both New York teams.
Like, it sets up nicely. It sets up real nicely for the Browns. Absolutely. I think at this phase, it's more important for them to look like a complete team making strides than to just accumulate wins.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about the caliber of competition, right?
Right. Right. Exactly.
This game was so weird because I walked away from it not feeling anything. Like, I just walked away. I didn't care. I'm telling you, you can ask Adam Moore or Ryan Keefe. They were both on the show. Anybody who listens to the show on a consistent basis, you could hear the anger of my voice when the Browns barely beat the Cincinnati Bengals because they look like shit. They looked like shit. They barely beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who had a rookie quarterback on a short week, a beat-up offensive line, and a beat-up Joe Mixon. They barely beat him. This game, I didn't care. I mean, how do you walk away not realizing that the Steelers – I mean, there's only like 2 undefeated teams. 3?
Yeah.
No, there's 2 undefeated teams in the NFL, the Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. That's it. They're good. The Steelers are good. I don't know. I don't understand why people are so passionate. And the people that are giving up on Baker Mayfield already, I find that so incredibly strange that you're willing to throw him. Well, he had 4 head coaches in 3 seasons so far.
Yeah. And think about all the different schemes that he's been going through over the last 3 years.
What do you want him to do? It's so strange. And then you hear a very common theme is, well, he always misses high. He always misses high. Okay, so quarterbacks miss all the time. Just because he misses the same way, does it really matter? You know, I don't. Does that make sense? Like, I don't understand.
A miss is a miss.
Yeah, a miss is a miss is a miss. Why do we have to? Why do I have to sit here and talk about why he always misses high? We know why he misses high. He misses high because his feet aren't set. Because he's running around like a madman.
DeSean Kizer, I'd rather miss high than throw behind.
Well, like you said before, a miss is a miss. I don't care what happened. DeSean Kizer missed all the time in a million different directions. Is that what your preferred method is? I'm confused. It doesn't make any sense to me where this is coming from. You know,
right.
I don't know. It's strange to me. You know, and another – we're just – and it kind of blows my mind, too, that we're not so upset about the defensive line looking pedestrian, because this was really the defensive line's first test against a competent offensive line. Myles Garrett's looked great. Myles Garrett should be up for the running of the defensive player of the year. But if you looked at the last couple of years, the Redskins had their offensive tackle was hurt. He went up against Bobby Hart in Cincinnati. Then the Tyron Smith in Dallas was hurt. So he went up against some dude who was also – LaRaven – Clark, who was a six-round draft pick by like the Colts. And then he's had a pretty easy way to where he's at. And I don't know. I'm more upset. And he played well against the Steelers. I'm not mean to bash him. Yeah. But I'm just saying these are things that we're not talking about.
Well, here's the thing. And he had an interesting post-game comment too in his post-game Zoom. But what he had said was basically the fact that the Steelers game planned against him and focused their offensive line on him. The key part of that is the fact that they were focused on him. Olivier Vernon, where the hell are you? Because if they're focused on him, then Olivier Vernon, why are we paying you $11 million and you're still not showing up? Other than maybe the one tip pass that he had late in the first half, I believe it was. But, you know, for him, it's like you said. I mean, Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, I'm going to give those guys a little bit of a pass just because they're also still coming back from injury. So, you know, for them,
I thought that those guys were – I bought the Myles Garrett thing because I felt like the Myles Garrett hype train was getting so – I mean, we were talking about him being defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do any – he's not an impactful – I thought he still played well. I thought Olivier Vernon played well too. Sometimes it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, right? I thought that there was still Big Ben's face. Big Ben just knows what to do with the ball. He's just very good. So I'm not really holding them guys accountable – you know, as – I'm not really upset about those guys. Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, though – woo, those guys got ragdolled, dude. Ogunjobi was coming back from an injury, though. So you're right. Maybe I should give some leeway there. But Richardson, he's been – maybe he's been bumped and bruised, but he's played. He hasn't sat out.
That's fair. I will say this, though, too, because there were a few plays where Vernon was trying to set the edge, and I thought that Connor was able to get past him, too.
Yes.
Like – I would say this. I think the defensive line as a whole needs to get better. And really, somebody on that defensive line has to step up, because guess what? Myles Garrett is a top talent in the NFL. He is going to get double teamed. He is going to be a focus. Somebody else has to get to the quarterback when Myles can't. And so far, I haven't seen anybody do that yet.
Well, I think another problem too, and again, the Sheldon Richardson, Ogunjobi, those guys played badly. I'm not making excuses for them, but it's the same thing as Baker. You can see where their game sucked, but at the same time, where were the linebackers to clean up the garbage?
Yeah.
Linebackers to flow? The linebackers have been a consistent issue on this team. We know it's a weakness. It's just like the Baker Mayfield thing. I know Baker Mayfield sucked. I know he played poorly, but why are we not talking about the fact that someone was in his face the entire game? Right, he was pressured. He was running for his life the entire game. I can acknowledge that this guy sucked, but also acknowledge that this part didn't really go well for him. It's the same way with Ogunjobi and Richardson. I mean, you know, if CJ Mosley was running around behind him, would we have noticed how bad those guys would have sucked? Because Mosley would have picked up, you know, the trash. Right. But we don't have those guys weren't doing much either. So I don't know. There's just a lot went wrong, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it at all.
And not to mention, too, like, we also got to keep in context the fact that, you know, this is a unit that, one, is still getting itself together, two, dealing with all kinds of injuries on every level, and three, is very, very young and inexperienced. You know, outside of Sendejo and, I mean, Malcolm Smith, like, I guess, can you call Kevin Johnson a veteran? Like, I don't know anymore at this point.
He's hurt all the time.
Right. Like, but that's the point. Yeah, is that he's our veteran corner. And he was drafted in 2015, and he's been hurt most of the time. Like,
Yes, he has.
So, like, that's the kind of place where we're at, where I feel like we kind of have to adjust our expectations for where this defense is at. And that's why I tweeted out, too. I was like, I was impressed early on with where the defense is at, given all of the circumstances and all the context that they've been going through this year. And granted, again, is it still bad? Yeah, it's still not great, but also realizing Like, I've seen people that have said, like, oh, like, what's up with the defense without the defense? I'm like, this is what happens when you get to the fourth-string defense. This is what happens when Sheldrick Redwine is back there, and he's consistently getting targeted because they're throwing it to Eric Ebron. If it's not Eric Ebron, those passes are getting caught.
Yes. I think you're right. And to summarize it all up, I think that the important thing is that the Browns are beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, but they're still losing the teams that they're supposed to lose to, which is better than the alternative, which was last year where they were just losing to everybody.
Right.
Or 2 years. Does that make sense? I mean, it sounds stupid.
It's the baby steps.
Exactly. I forgot to also, some of Myles Garrett. Anthony Costanzo was out when he played the Colts, too. So that's another backup option. But whatever. I hate to keep bashing all that. I'm just saying, because Myles Garrett is great. He plays great, and I feel like I talk about him a lot, but I'm just using him as an example of how Browns fans look at it. Like, oh, my God, he's got a turnover in every game. And it's like, okay, well, hold on. Slow down. Let's slow down. You know what I mean? It's just like Baker Mayfield. Oh, my God, he hasn't thrown a pick in four games. Okay, well, let's slow down. Let's slow down.
Right.
It goes the exact opposite way, too. Oh, my God, Baker sucks. I can't believe he threw that pick six for me against Patrick. All right, well, let's slow down. That's a pretty good defensive back that tricked him, you know what I mean? With guys in his face. But moving on, I think that this next game is more important than the Pittsburgh Steelers game because A, this will be the second time we play the Cincinnati Bengals, and B, this is a team that they're better than, and this is a team that they should beat pretty handedly. As we talked about, the Browns barely squeaked by the last time they played Thursday night in Cleveland, 35-30. The spread was 6. Need I remind you, because I had money on Cleveland that night, the first and last time I would have been on the Browns. Oh, dude, I was pissed. I got backdoored by Burrow. I was pissed. But the Cincinnati Bengals currently sit at 1-4-1, okay? So I really think that it's obvious who the better team is. Now, the Bengals kind of had a collapse of their own this past week, and they were winning 24-7 over the Colts and end up losing 31-27. So yeah, they're a pretty bad team. I expect the Browns to do fairly well. I do think that Joe Burrow has grown as a player. I think that we probably saw his coming out party last Thursday, and it seems like T. Higgins is coming along quite well. I gave him a first round grade coming out, and I got kind of bashed a little bit because he had those weird testing numbers, and everybody kind of thought that he was a fluke because he played at Clemson. No, he looks really good. He had a 67 yard bomb this past week. He had 6 receptions for 125 yards, and it seems like he's built a pretty good repertoire with Burrow. And last week, their offense, even though, again, they lost 24, that 24 points was the highest in the Zach Taylor era. So I think that their offense is finding their groove a little bit. What do you think?
So going into this game, I think that this is a test for Stefanski and this crew, especially coming off a loss. Because for one, it could be one where if they let themselves kind of linger in this loss, I feel like they could kind of get lost in the shuffle, and the Bengals could beat them. Because again, because here's the thing. I mean, look at the Colts game last week. Like you said, I mean, the Colts ended up winning that ball game. Burrow had the best game of his career so far. Let's be honest.
Can we agree that the Colts defense that we saw this past Sunday against the Bengals is not the Colts defense that we were hyped up to see against the Browns? They're clearly not the defense that we thought they were, right?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Grain of salt
is all I'm saying.
Yeah. But especially going into this Sunday, I mean, it's all about limiting those big plays. And like what we talked about for that Steelers game, you have to have Sheldon Richardson and Okungbo show up.
Yes.
Because especially my worry is that they're going to try to get Joe Mixon going here at some point. And, you know, last few weeks, he kind of struggled a little bit. Obviously, he showed up against the Jaguars because it's the Jaguars, so that he's going to show up.
Well, he's been bumped and bruised, but he's been over 100 yards the last couple of weeks, despite being bumped and bruised. So basically, since the Browns game where he did nothing, he's played pretty well, which is funny you're saying that because the preview show for the Thursday night game, that's one of the reasons why I took the Browns because I said, hey, listen, it's a short week. The Bengals got 3 days to prepare. They're going to keep the ball in the rookie quarterback's hands, and they're just going to grind it out with Joe Mixon because I thought that played into the Browns a little bit because I figured, okay, they're just going to stack the box and kill it. Does that make sense? So I'm kind of hoping that you're right and that's what happens this time.
Now, I will also say this too. Like what we said, I mean, I think that this Browns defense, especially, you know, you need to get Ronnie Harrison back if he's healthy with the concussion. You need to get Carl Joseph back here at some point because at a certain point, Sheldrick Redwine should not be on the field. And I've said it over and over again, too, when it comes to Andrew Sendejo. I love the guy as a veteran. The guy should be a rotational guy. He really should. Like, he should be somebody who occasionally gets in there to spell one of those starters. But again, with the Grant Delpit injury, that's just where we are. But when you're forced to start both Sendejo and Sheldrick Redwine, that's when I start to worry about some of those deep passes. Tyler Boyd obviously did some damage in garbage time last time the Browns played.
Yes.
So I worry about some of those receiving options for them, and I worry that if this run defense doesn't necessarily show up with Ogunjobi and Richardson, I worry that they can kind of control the clock a little bit. And if Baker's not able to get this stuff going and able to get the passing attack going, I worry about the Browns offense a little bit. I think they're going to be able to run the ball, no problem. I'm not concerned about that side of things. But if they're able to get the deep passes going with Odell, with Jarvis, I think that this could be a good Austin Hooper game. You know, I think that this could be a good game for the Browns. But again, that defense has to show up.
Yeah, it is. You talk about Ogunjobi and Richardson show up. I agree with you, especially since it sucks that there's so much pressure on them. But it just doesn't feel like we're not there at the second level. Right. You talked about Sheldrick Redwine not being out there. I agree with you that he should not be a starter. I think he's a very quality, you know, solid reserve type.
Right.
But he misses a lot of tackles. He missed some tackles this past Sunday. And I you know, that's not out of his realm or out of what he usually does. Andrew Sendejo, I love Andrew Sendejo. I think he's playing a little bit out of position based off of the need of the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be the deep guy. I think he's too old and too slow for that now.
I agree with that.
He's been forced that way because of Delpit. But I think that he's a very technical player. I think that he's caught in a bad spot. But I do like Sendejo. You know, the problem with Sendejo, and I said this with Brad Ward last week, is that he was never athletic. He was never an uber athlete, right? That's why he played with the Sacramento Mountain Lions of the UFL, right?
Yeah.
So when a guy like that loses a step, you notice it. He's almost done, right? Mm. Because he was never fast to begin with. But I agree with you. The Fett needs to be an emphasis. The Browns offense I would normally say, yeah, I'm not worried about it because the Browns offense has been clicking, but they sucked so bad this past Sunday that I have a little concern. Another part that has me a little less concerned is that it does feel like the Bengals have kind of written this up as a rebuild year on the defensive side of the ball. Carlos Dunlap is requesting a trade because he's seen so few snaps. Geno Atkins, since his injury, the injury week against Cleveland leading up to that game, he's seen very few snaps. Carl Lawson is another guy that he's seen a they seem to reduce his snaps a lot. Those guys aren't even the heavy ones in the rotation. It seems like Sam Hubbard is the only one star-studded guy that they have on that defensive side that's really pulling their weight or playing all those reps. So it feels like they're really kind of, I don't know, calling it quits per se. I mean, and plus the Bengals defense has been pretty shitty all year long. It seems like they really struggle making adjustments a la the Colts game. I mean, come on. They held the Colts to – what was it, 7 points in the first half, and then the defense coordinator made no adjustments. The Colts made adjustments, and then the Colts scored 23 more points. Yeah, so I'm not uber concerned about that. Logan Wilson has been pretty competent at linebacker for the Bengals. I know. I see you nod your head because that was one of your draft favorites.
Yeah, but even that was my guy.
But he kind of got beat like a drum last week against the Colts.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the Browns can do the same thing. The Bengals allowed 7.2 yards per play against the Colts last week. And the Colts are a pretty bumped and bruised and battered unit, as we saw when they played the Browns. So I'm thinking that the Browns should be A-OK on that offensive side. If they're not, that to me is a big red flag. If they can't destroy the Bengals offensively, that to me is a big red flag.
Yeah, for sure. And I will also agree with you, like, when it comes to this Bengals offensive line, because if the Browns cannot take advantage of Bobby freaking Hart at right tackle, I'm sorry, we need to find somebody at some point. Like,
well Garrett beat him. Garrett destroyed him. He embarrassed him last time.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, I think that out of anything, if Bobby Hart is not released by next week, I'm going to take it as a little bit of a disappointment. I'm not going to lie.
So you're saying Myles Garrett should beat him so bad that the man should lose his job?
Yes. Yes, dude, absolutely. You know what? I think Bengals fans would thank Myles Garrett for it.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny because I think what the Steelers did too is the Steelers kind of – it's funny because the Steelers, I think that they relied a lot on their short passes and the speed, the quick releases. And then they eventually opened it up, and that's when you kind of saw the deep bomb, the Chase Claypool, and that's kind of how their offense evolved. The Bengals, I don't think they really have that option. It seems like they like to go deep with Burrow a little bit. I mean, maybe not. I don't want to say, like, you know, 50-yard bombs, but it seems like he's got a pretty good rhythm with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd kind of hitting those 10 to 50. The longer developing routes is what it looks like. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you're going to try to avoid Myles Garrett being up in your face, you're going to have to be quicker to get that ball out of your hands.
Right. And my question, too, is who do you have cover who for this game? So you still have Denzel, you've still got Terrence Mitchell, and then you've still got Kevin Johnson. But, I mean, last week, obviously, you mentioned T. Higgins. A.J. Green finally had his best game of the year with 8 catches for 96 yards. And then Tyler Boyd had 5 catches for 54 yards. So, you know, I just wonder who you have who covers who, because last time Denzel Ward covered A.J. Green.
For the most part. But if you remember, A.J. Green got beat by T. Higgins on a third down, and then Mike Thomas scored the touchdown on him, if you remember.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're right, though. That was the Bengals game was actually one of the better games for the defensive backfield as a whole, to be honest with you, because Denzel Ward pretty much locked up A.J. Green. I think A.J. Green only had, like, one reception that day.
Right. But especially with the way that he's been kind of slowed down so far this year, do you take Denzel off of him? Do you go ahead and move, you know, Terrence Mitchell maybe on to T. Higgins at that point? Like, I don't know who matches up with who at that point. I imagine that you put Tyler Boyd on or Kevin Johnson on Tyler Boyd in the slot, but.
So I would keep Denzel Ward on A.J. Green because you know it works. Denzel Ward's struggles have nothing to do with him being a good player.
Right.
His struggles are, you know, him coming back from an injury. Maybe he's getting a little bit. He's great. He can shut down A.J. Green. We know he can. Terrence Mitchell did a really good job of shutting down Tyler Boyd. Terrence Mitchell has had a pretty solid season. Shut down is a pretty strong word. He does a pretty good job of limiting Tyler Boyd's explosiveness. The problem is, or the X factor, is T. Higgins. Because I don't think T. Higgins is the same wide receiver that we saw earlier in the season. It looks to me like he's got a better grasp of the playbook, and he's got a better relationship with Burrow, and he's starting to figure things out. Mm-hmm. And he's good. I feel like he is an NFL receiver now. And before, when we saw him, he was just kind of a rookie playing on the side. I mean, shit, the last time they played, Mike Thomas was getting more snaps than T. Higgins. That's what it looked like to me, or at least more looks. That's not the case anymore. Yeah. So that to me is a little bit of the X factor or a little bit of the worry. And I do think that if I'm the Bengals, I'm trying to, like you said, establish the run with Joe Mixon, because Joe Mixon looks like he's kind of found his groove a little bit. And Gio Bernard's looked solid too. Gio Bernard looked very solid. But again, I said that last time, and then they threw it with Burrow 60 times. So who knows?
Right. And especially too, Mixon last game against the Colts had 18 carries, only at 54 yards. So for me, I think that if you're able to somewhat limit Joe Mixon and force him to throw, obviously I think that they would prefer that a little bit. But at the same time, too, it also kind of swings it into the Browns' favor, because that gives them a chance to control the clock still.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because everything we're saying that they should do is the exact opposite of what happened last time. But again, the Browns lucked out. I stand by that. I would place that bet. Matter of fact, I am not placing the money on the Browns this week, because I'm scared, because the Browns bit me in the ass last time. But gun to my head, let's move on. Let's move on to prediction time. The spread is 3.5 points. Oh. Okay, the Browns are favored by 3.5 points, which is less than last time, dude.
Yeah.
Less than last time. So the Browns have won, what, 3 games since they last met up, and the Bengals have lost 3 games since they've last met. No, 2 games. No, that's right, 3 games since they last met up. So why I feel like now I'm getting a discount. Why are they not favored by 6 points anymore? Or at least 5, because that's what they beat them by last time. Is it because they're in Cincinnati?
I think it's just because of the way that Steelers game kind of rubs off. Like, the Browns all of a sudden aren't the hottest team in the league after they throw up a stinker against the Steelers. Like, it's just not going to work that way. So for them, I mean, the over-under is still 51.5. Like, I would still – they still look at it as a – and this is – I'm just looking at Bleacher Report, at least for right now, to see the over-under. But, you know, for this, I'm going to go – I'll take the Browns. I'll take the Browns, and I would say this. If it was 5.5, I would take Cincinnati to cover. But I think that three and a half. I think that because again, it just me thinking.
What is the difference?
Because again, I don't think that they're going to find a way to get within a field goal. I don't think that you're going to find a way to get within a field goal or less. I think that it's going to be like again.
Okay, wait, hold on. So now I'm confused. You don't think the Bengals are going to be within a field goal?
Correct.
So you would but you would still take the Browns at the current spread of 3.5.
Yes.
Okay, but you're saying a 5.5, that's when you would turn it to the Bengals.
A 5.5, I would be a little worried, a little concerned. I wouldn't necessarily feel as good if you're giving me just distinctly the Browns beat the Bengals by more than a field goal. Okay, I can go with that. Like,
okay, I see what you're saying.
Just the spread, it gets to 5.5. I start to worry a little bit because, again, like what you had last time, like that was what the line was last time, and all of a sudden it just that last second, just one bad beat. And I would say this: my mind has gone from the Browns losing a game to the Browns not being able to cover the spread with the points. Like that's where my mind has gone. I still expect them to win, but the line as of right now. I'm cool with going ahead and just taking them and running with it.
I could see that. The reason I kind of the reason I was so confused because to me 3.5 and 5.5, 3.5 is not a dead number. That is a key number with a hook. 5.5 though, to me, is a dead number. I mean, how often does someone if you lose by a field goal, you're gonna lose by 3 points, about 6 points. That's that key number. But it's funny because as I'm thinking about that and trying to figure it out. I realized that the Browns lost by 5 points, or the Browns only won by 5 points last time. So,
Cincinnati just lost by 4 to Indianapolis. So that's why I'm like that 5.5 really, really
apparently. Yeah, apparently that's the new key number. I'm with you. I take the Browns on this all day, every day. But it's so weird because, I'm not putting money on it. Gun to my head, I'm taking the Browns. But it's so weird because I haven't put money on it, and I've already put money on a couple NFL games this week because something inside of me is kind of shocked that the number is so low. It's in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's looked good. The offense seems like it's clicking. So I'm looking at that going, man, that's kind of a big number for this because the Browns just got wiped. But with that said, I just explained how the Browns were 6 points favorites and they've done nothing but exceed expectations.
Right.
And the Bengals have sucked. So why is it not 6 points? But there's just something inside of me. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because that loss is eaten away. I mean, it's weird though, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The Bengals are a weird X Factor-ish type of team.
The Bengals are a weird X Factor team. And not only that, the Browns' luck in the past gives you such a wariness when it comes down to it. Like that's, I feel it. I feel it. Cause again, like when we do this on the fan, like when we do our pick sixes, I look at these lines and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that much of a spread. That spreads worries me.
Oh, a little bit.
Like, so again, like, and especially too, like one, for instance, too, that we didn't get a chance to talk about this week, but I wanted in on so bad was this Cardinals Cowboys game. Because the Cardinals were favored by only 1.5. I'm like, that's free money at that point.
What is the score of that game currently?
As of right now, it's barely after halftime, and the Cardinals are up 21-3.
I bet on the Cowboys.
Dude.
I bet on the Cowboys.
You bet on Andy Dalton.
it's funny because I brought up on this podcast last week because the spread was 8 points. No, the spread was the Cowboys were favored by 3 points, and then Dak Prescott got hurt, and then the Cowboys were getting 3 points. So I was like, dude, there is not a 6 point difference between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. But I guess I was wrong. Of course, there's still some time left, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But I'm with you. But back to the Browns and Bengals. I see what you're saying though, as it relates to this game, because it is a weird. It's weird to think about this game because it does seem like a big number, but at the same time, they did beat him by 5 points. The Browns have been very. I'm really trying to just forget the last game. I don't think that the last game is a correct representation of how good the team can be and will be moving forward. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree with that for sure. I don't think that this is out of anything. This is kind of a marker for where the Browns are kind of at. I think that it, because you also got to remember, like I said, this is all about teams that have continuity, that that know the Browns at least in division. And, you know, for the Browns, they're just not to that level yet because, again, you know, they just haven't had that continuity. They've had 6 weeks of prep going into this season where they are now 12 weeks into the Stefanski era.
Yeah.
And they are 4-2. Yeah,
12 weeks.
They're 12 weeks.
You're right. Like, yeah, that's funny.
And what's even crazier is think about all the other coaches, all the other first-year coaches in the NFL right now. Like, or at least coaches that were hired in this group. You've got Ron Rivera, 1-5, and he was the prized possession for everybody. Again, Mike McCarthy is 2-3 and getting his ass kicked right now by Arizona.
The Rivera thing isn't a super fair comparison because you have to admit though. Now, this is where I will bash Stefanski a little bit. Everybody's giving them credit for being 4-2, and they should, because it's the same team that was last year that couldn't sniff their own ass. With that said, none of these other teams that hired new coaches have the talent. Come on, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, the number one pick at quarterback. They just signed Jack Conklin, and he did some of that. I'd like to think, but you know, the Redskins ain't got that shit.
No, I hear that. I hear that argument.
Now the Cowboys do though.
Right, exactly.
The Cowboys do, though. Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, is that they were the ones that let Byron Jones walk.
Yep.
You know, and, I mean, coming into this year, obviously, you didn't pay Dak Prescott. You paid Amari Cooper, and you paid Zeke.
Well, paying Dak Prescott. Not paying Dak Prescott might have been a good idea now.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe if he got paid, he wouldn't have gotten hurt. I don't know. I don't live in that world. To quote Draft Day, we live in a very different world than we did about a week ago. so, I mean, I look at it and the situations too, because not on top of that too, Joe Judge just got his first win against Ron Rivera, and that
barely.
Right, but that's the thing, is that even still barely, because he went ahead, Rivera went ahead, and he's still playing Kyle Allen.
I know. So, I don't get that either. I don't get that either. It's such a weird.
Right. And so, like, that's the whole thing that I'm constantly looking at, is that, you know, for where this team is at, again, 12 weeks into a new offense, defense, and completely culture change, like, I'm very happy with where they're at. Granted, could they get better? Sure. But again, we're only 12 weeks into a process that normally we get about 7 months right now. Yeah. Like, so we're not that far along.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. One thing is for sure, they need to beat the teams that they're better than. And we know for sure that they are better than the Bengals. So I think this week is more important than the last week. But we're coming towards the end, Mac. I want to let you do a little shout out for your podcast. What you got coming up, brother? Where can they follow you, and what you got coming down the pipe?
Yeah, so as always, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MacRobinson95. If you want to hear me every now and then, I also do some producing over at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And as always, you guys can listen to the podcast. It's the Hurry Up Podcast. You guys can follow it on Twitter at Hurry Up Podcast. As of right now, I'm going to be doing post-game reaction stuff, and then hopefully here in the near future, I got to get some stuff worked out, but I should be having guests on again, but you guys will hear my post-game reactions to all that stuff. And as always, you guys can check out my thoughts on Twitter.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm excited for draft season again. You always find a good way to get those prospects on. One of these days, dude, you're going to get a prospect that does get drafted by the Browns.
I'm hoping.
It's not your fault. For anybody who isn't aware, Mac interviewed. He goes down to the Senior Bowl. He gets these prospects. You had the tight end from Cincinnati last year. Yep. You had a couple linebackers.
I had Josiah DeGuara this year. Yeah. 2 years ago, I had Colin Saunders, who got drafted in the third round by the Chiefs. And then I also had Max Crosby. I believe it was Eastern Michigan, but he ended up getting drafted by the Raiders and has been doing very well over there. I've had a few prospects on here and there. None of the Browns. And even Crosby was one that I wanted, man.
Like, the Kalen Saunders one was fun. DeGuire was funny too, because even Jeff on our on our chat was like, oh, that's a good one. He'll end up with the Browns because they'll move him to H-back or whatever. Remember, yeah. That was a big rumor forever. So everybody you have on.
Yeah, and then they traded for Andy Janovich. And so yes. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. All right. Yeah, but hey, I mean, hey, he is the H-back for Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I'll take it.
He's doing it. He is doing it, brother. But this was the Browns Wire Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at JoshKeatley16. Remember to give us a like, listen, review. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, I will send you out an Austin Hooper autographed 8x10. So okay. Remember, yeah, that's right, dude. That's right. We've given out 2 already. I got 2 left, baby. There I got 2 left. Courtesy of Playball Inc. at the Tuttle Crossing Mall in Dublin, Ohio. As a reminder, they're also having Dorsey Levens here Saturday. If anybody's interested in Dorsey Levens autograph. But again, this was the Browns Wire Podcast, and we are out.
Your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup, free, when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup, free, when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.